Erev Tov. Good evening. Tonight is the 20th of Menachem Av. It's the yahrzeit of the Rebbe, of the Lubavitcher Rebbe's father, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak, HaTzadik, HaGaon, VaMekubal. This is the week of Parshat Ekev, and I'd like to relate to you some words of inspiration and insight that the Rebbe gave 30 years ago on this week, on Shabbat Parshat Ekev Taf Nun Shin Aleph, and this year is Taf Shin Pei Aleph. That was Teshnat Niflaot Arenu, and this year is Teshnat Plaot Arenu, which is even a higher union of Plaot. The Rebbe talked about Abahaya Ekev Tishmu'un, the words at the beginning of the parasha, that it will be Ekev. Now, how do we interpret the words Ekev? It will be that simple interpretation is it will be as a result of, or on the heels of, or as a result of your listening to Hashem's commandments, then Hashem will bless us. And then the Torah goes on to enumerate great blessings. So the word Ekev literally means heels, but it means on the heels of. But here we have Rashi says an interesting interpretation. Rashi says that if you keep the commandments, that she adam dash ba'akevav, that means that even if you take the mitzvot kalot, the mitzvot that are easy to overlook, light and easy mitzvot to overlook, that a person tends to trample on them with his heels, heel being the lowest and least sensitive part of the body, that people tend to trample over things that are low and of they're not seem to be less concerned about. That's what Rashi says. And if a person keeps those mitzvot kalot, then Hashem will bless us. It's interesting because the other interpretations, Pashtanei Amikra, like for example the Ramban, the Ibn Ezra, they say that Ekev means is referring to the Acharit V'Sof, the ultimate and the end of all. All of our avodah, all of the work that Yisrael has done throughout all of history, the ultimate. So the Ekev means the ultimate and the end of all of the ultimate schar, the ultimate reward for all of everything we've been doing. Then v'shamar Hashem alechas, Hashem will give us these incredible blessings. The times of Mashiach. So we find that these two commentaries, which are on the same verse, in the same word. Must share something in common. However, they seem to be complete opposites. Ekev meaning the lowest of the low, and Ekev meaning the ultimate of the ultimate. So how can we find a connection between these two opposing interpretations? So, and it's also interesting that there's other times in the Torah before this that says the word Ekev, and Rashi never said anything. For example, Ekev asher shema Avraham bekoli, because Avraham Avinu listened to my voice and he guarded my commandments, right? So I keep a covenant with his children, with his offspring, right? Rashi says nothing about Ekev asher shema Avraham bekoli. Why? Because it means simple. It means as a result of, or on the heels of. With the Rashi doesn't say over there, oh, Avram kept even the mitzvot shadam dash ba'akiv, mitzvot kalot shadam dash ba'akiv. Rashi doesn't say. So the Rebbe explained that the reason is because the Rebbe had a long explanation of it, but what he explained is that the Gemara and the Shlemut of the Avodah, the ultimate perfection of the divine service of Israel through all the generations is specifically relevant and salient in the most lowest in the levels of the tachton biyoter, of hatchalat avodah, the beginning of the avodah, which is mitzvot kalot. It's apparent on the lowest level. The Rebbe explained that that's why today is the yahrzeit of the Rebbe's father, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak. Today is his yahrzeit, and his neshama is attending, is attaining the highest levels of shleimuta avodato, yom istalkuto, and he's buried in a place where he was sent into exile, into galut, the place of galut. even though it wasn't the original Galut, it was the ultimate place where he was sent to Galut. It wasn't the original difficult Galut, it was a later Galut. Nevertheless, it's in a place of Makom Tachton Bioter. It's the lowest level that a person could be sent to exile. And Davka, that place where his body is buried, Makom Menuchato, Makom Kvado, from there he attains the highest levels of perfection, the highest levels of completion. Because his avodah was the avodah of hafatzat ha-Torah, hafatzat ha-Yahadut, hafatzat ha-Mayanot Chutza, mitoch mesirut nefesh, with the greatest levels of the greatest unthinkable level of self-sacrifice, that he was able to accomplish this. And that is the, and we should all learn from his ways, and we should also, all of us should also do hafatzat ha-Torah, hafatzat Yahadut, and hafatzat ha-Mayanot Chutza with mesirut nefesh. Against all odds, in spite of all the things, the difficulties that are holding us back or limitations. Anyway, the Rebbe then explained that the word Ekev really has to do with the idea of Ikvata de Mashicha, the idea that we are at the footsteps of Mashiach, the very last level that has to be accomplished before the Hitgalut of Malach HaMashiach of the Geula. And the Rebbe said that Ekev comes from the word Ikvayim, right, the heels, which is the lowest of the lowest. Most of the level, the chelek achi tachton, the lowest level of the body, right? Like we know that the times before the geula and the moments before the geula will be a choshech kaful umuchupal. It will be a doubled and quadrupled darkness. That the people will, like it says in the prophet Yeshayahu, the people will call see darkness and they'll call it light, and they'll see light and they'll call it darkness. And like it says in the Gemara in Masechet Sota, Masechet Sanhedrin, all the prophecies, all the things that will be that Chazal enumerated regarding this generation, regarding the generation of Ikvata Mashicha, Chutzpah Yazga, there'll be terrible insolence, and so on and so forth. And then there's also the higher level of the higher meaning of Ekev is the Lashon Sof and Acharit. It's the ultimate. It's the end. It's which is referring to Acharit HaGalut and Acharit HaYamim. The end of all days, the time of ultimate perfection in creation, because kalu kol haketzin, all the end times have been over, and we're ready for the geula, and the geula will be the highest. Our generation in Dafka, in our times, that the previous Rebbe said already made it known, and it reiterated many times by the Rebbe Nesidoreinu, that we've finished all of the inyanim, all the things that had to be completed. We've even polished the buttons. And the only thing that is remaining is one tenuah, one movement on Hashem's part to take us out of Galut and bring us to Eretz HaKodesh and to bring us to the Geula. So therefore, we continue to scream out, like, even more than we've ever done before in history, Ad Matai. So how could we reconcile, that's the word, how could we reconcile these two opposite ideas of the lowest of the low, Choshech Kaful Mechupal, and the highest of the high. By the way, before I give the answer, I would just like to share with you, if you look up in the Gemara Sanhedrin, there's a whole bunch of things that will be by Ikvata Mashicha. But there's something I'd like to read to you in particular. The Rebbe only is mitzayen. I mean, the Rebbe only notes, he makes note of that Gemara, he makes note of these things, of Chutzpah Yazga and the different things that will be by this time that we're living in, Masechet Sotan and other places. But I would like to read to you one specific place, one specific thing which Chazal say. I'm reading now in Masechet Sanhedrin, folio page 97a. So first it talks about Asher Cherfu Oivecha Hashem, Asher Cherfu Ikvot Mashiachecha, that they are taunting your enemies, taunt your enemies taunted, O Hashem, they taunted the footsteps of your anointed, right? This is the thing that the Rebbe Rashab, when he founded Tom Chet Mimim, he said that this is why Tom Chet Mimim exists, that we have to, as an antidote to this taunting of the footsteps of Mashiach. So look what he says. As the wisdom of the scholars will diminish, the sin-fearing people will be despised, the face of the generation will be like the face of a dog, in impudence and shamelessness, and so on and so forth. But here I want to read to you one important line. Now this is a verse in Yeshayahu. It says, it comes from a verse in Yeshayahu, chapter 59, verse 15. That the truth will be lacking, will be withheld. Ne'ederet means will be lacking, right? So, and it goes, I'm sorry, the verse begins, V'sar me'ra mishtolel, v'tihia emet ne'ederet. So what is V'sar me'ra mishtolel? It means that the that he who departs from evil will be negated, like shlila will be negated, right? And vatiyadet, now I met neaderet, and the truth will be withheld, will lacking. So the Gemara says, my vatiyamet neaderet, amri de beirav. So they said in the yeshiva of Rav, melamed shenaset adarim adarim v'holechet la. The truth becomes, either the truth becomes, or Israel becomes, like referred to as flocks of flocks, adarim adarim, and they depart and they go away. My v'sar meram mishtolel, amri de beirav yishilo. Kol mi shesar meram mishtolel al abriot. Rashi says, the people call him a fool, and they cancel him. Anyone who tries to say the truth, who strays from evil, he's canceled and he's ridiculed and he's called shoter, Rashi says. He's called a fool and a conspiracist and a crazy person. Mishtolel al abriot. He's canceled. Lashon shlila in a cancel culture. This concept of adarim adarim is the entire concept of what we're dealing with now with this incredible falsehood in the world, in Eretz HaKodesh and in the whole world. The concept that a person belongs to a herd. A person has no zchuyot haprat. The person belongs to a herd, eder. And we have to do for chisun eder, chasinut eder, what the word is, we have to do for herd immunity. A person is required to subject themselves to risk, right? And of course, they downplay the risk and they ignore the risk and they make fun of those people who cite risks and they cancel people, mishtolel, right? Shlila, they cancel people who cite risks. But ultimately, even the CDC and other corrupt government organizations that impose these tyranny, this medical tyranny on us, they acknowledge that there's a risk, but that the person is required to expose themselves and their child to the risk in order to protect the eder. Now, this concept, adarim adarim, our sages say that this concept that humanity will be looked at as adarim adarim is a falsehood. You know why? Because a human being does not belong in an eder. Human being is an individual. There are certain places in Tanakh, for example, in Tehillim, by Nahagim Ka'eder Bamidbar, right? But God led us like a flock of God. But there it's Chaf Adimion. That means like an Eder, but not Mamash an Eder. Because the human being does not belong in an Eder. We are not animals. We are not herd animals. We are individuals whose each individual value is infinite, infinitely valuable. Like we know it says in the Gemara, it says in the Mishnah, and brought down in the Halakha and the Rambam, Yisodeya Torah, that if the Goyim surround the city and they say that give us one of you and we will defile her, or one of you and we will murder him, and if not, we will defile the whole city, or we will kill all the inhabitants of the city. So we are not allowed to give even one person to them. And Yehargu Kulam, so then they all should be killed. We shouldn't, if that's what they're going to have the power to do. But we will not submit. We will not give over and endanger or abandon even one soul of Israel. Because why? Because the individual has infinite, infinite value. He's not part of the herd. His existence does not exist in order to serve the herd. So the concept of adarim adarim is a very grave departure of Judaic values. It's a very, very grave departure of halacha and of Torah, hamesortit, and of everything holy. If you look throughout all the answers and all the letters of the Rebbe Nisidoreinu, and the Melech HaMashiach, and if you look at all the poskim who wrote in the last generations about vaccination, never before do we find the concept of herd immunity. Never. It is a foreign and anti-Jewish and secular concept. It has no place in Torah values at all. I have already, for the last 2 years, have respectfully offered to have a dialogue with any rav or any rabbi or scholar on earth on this topic. There is no Judaic, authentic Judaic source for herd immunity or community immunity. Chasinut Eder does not exist. Do you know why? Because it is a secular, atheist idea which has no place in Judaism. But unfortunately, we're living in times of great blindness, because Shocha Ya'aver Ein Chachamim. And we and rabbis have been misled to believe that this is a concept that we have to find a source for, and we have to pretend that it exists, and we have to pretend that we have this obligation. This is a subversion. It is a subversion of Judaic values. When the Rebbe spoke about the polio vaccine or other vaccines later, he never even hinted to the concept of a herd immunity. Never even hinted. It was always about if the risk to the child from the disease justifies the risk from the vaccine, or the benefit from protection is justified for this individual child, individual person, and the end of the vaccine is known to be incontrovertibly safe, then a person may do it. Not that he has to do it. It's kedai for the person to do. Never that he has to, or that we could force him, or that he's not allowed to go to Talmud Torah or come to the Beit Knesset if he doesn't do it. This is all of this is goyishkeit. This is all a perverse distortion of Judaism. I'd just like to finish the sikha of the connecting it all together. So in the end of this sikha, the Rebbe explained that. So how do we have ekev? We have the lowest of the low. This, and what we're dealing with nowadays is the lowest of the low. The rabbanim have been misled. We're bereft of Torah leadership, we're being fed misinformation, false values, and our own people are going willingly and are sacrificing their children to sikun, to sakana mavhila, to terrible, unthinkable dangers because of some secular agenda that has no place in Judaism. How could such a thing be? So we're dealing with the lowest of the low. The lowest of the low, that our own leadership is telling us, oh no, you have to be farshklaf, you have to be subjugated. You have to subjugate your autonomy to this eder, adarim, adarim. And whoever speaks out and says the truth, mishtolel, he's nishlal, mushlal. He's negated and he's called to be crazy. And yet on the other hand, the word ekev, so ekev indicates that, but ekev also indicates acharit, the tachlis haschar, the most wonderful, incredible, complete completion. So the Rebbe said in the end, that the chibur, the connection of these two contradictory concepts, which exist right now in our times, we're ikvah of the Mashiach, the lowest of the low, the tachton biyoter, bichinat ikvaya mamash, and we're also holding by the shleimut of biyata Mashiach tzikenu, begulam itit vashleimah adem Mashiach tzikenu. Why? Because we're dealing with milmata lamala. We're rock bottom. We're in the lowest of the low, and there's only up. We could only go up milmata lamala, and we're also holding by the tachlis of milmata lamata. God is bringing down the Beis Hamikdash banuyu meshuchlal to us, because this is what the gula is. The gula is, that's why it's called Beit Hamikdash Hashlishi, the third. We have it contains the mala, the advantage of the first one, which is the idea of milmata lamata. God took us out of Mitzrayim. It was all a kindness from above to below. And then there's the ma'ala, the advantage of the second holy temple. There was all from below to above. It was the Mesirut Nefesh of the Chashmonaim. And we were lacking the Nevuah that existed in the Bayit Rishon and all the things, Ruach HaKodesh, etc. But yet it was bigger in place and in time because it has the ma'ala of Mitzah, the Tachton, right? It's not coming all, it could be the initiative from above. And in this Gula, Amitit Vashlema, the Gula Shlishit, the Beit HaMikdash Shlishit, we have both Ma'alot together, that at this moment that we are at the lowest of the low in of Gola, we reveal the Aleph, the Alufosh Olam, of the Creator, the infinite oneness of the Creator by speaking the truth, the Aleph, Aleph Chochma, Aleph Chabina, by saying the truth, we reveal the truth of the Creator in all of this Gola, and we reveal Geula. The Rebbe finished off, and the Rebbe said that this is unquestionably the Shana Shemelech Hamashiach Niklabo. This is the year that Mashiach is already revealed in it. And the according to all the simanim, according to all the cheshbonot, and the Rebbe talked about at the very end of the sikha, the Rebbe said that if the gula still is not yet has not yet materialized in front of our eyes, b'shleimut, it must be that there's some one last little thing that left that we have to do. So the Rebbe said there's a certain population that in the Jewish community and in the world that has been neglected, and the Rebbe said that is the community of Sagei Nahor, of blind people, because they don't have the ability to read. So the Tanya and all the Sichas and the Ma'amorim and all the wealth of Pnimiyos HaTorah, the wellsprings of the inner teachings of the Torah, the essential inner springs of wellsprings of the Torah, are hidden to these people because they can't read them. So the Rebbe had said that now there's the Tanya is written in Braille. Braille is a language, is a text, a text that people who are Sagei Nahor can read, and the Rebbe said that this is must be the last thing to reveal the wellsprings of the Torah, to make them accessible to people who are blind, like the Rebbe said, and this is like what it says in the Geulah, like Mamre Chazal said, like the Chazal said, lati lavo ha'ivrim mitrapim shneimar asti pakachna inei ivrim, and even more, kshevo hakadosh baruch hu rapot ha'olam eino merape tchila ela ha'ivrim, the first people to get healed in the times of the Hitgalut of the Geulah are the blind people. So the Rebbe said, the Rebbe spoke about it and said, this is, must be the thing that we have to accomplish now, and we've accomplished it, so we're ready for the Geulah, the Pashtut. The Rebbe said this 30 years ago. we are dealing in our times with an even a deeper type of blindness and more insidious type of blindness. We are dealing with people who have physical vision, but they're blind. They're blind to the truth. I'm talking about Chassidish Yidden and holy people and Jewish people and rabbis and scholars and God-fearing people. They've been blinded. They have a blind spot to truth. And it is our job as the Rebbe's Chassidim to teach them the truth, to take off their blinders and show them the Metziyah, show them the truth, dispel the falsehoods, this blinder of Adarim, these false non-Jewish concepts that are blinding them. The Pashtut, the Torah says, why? How could it be that this person could be blind? Because Hashocha Ya'aveh Nei Chachamim Bisalei Devei Tzadikim. Shochad means bribery. In our times, in recent times, unfortunately, we have been fallen prey to bribery. How have we been fallen prey to bribery? That our mosdot, our institutions we've made ourselves dependent on government for funding our communities, funding our yeshivot, funding our kolalim, funding our seminaries for children, for girls, and for our communities. And because of that, we've received shochad. And now and because of this, the medical establishment is also taking the shochad. So everyone is being blinded because they've taken bribery from this monetary bribery. This medical establishment is bribed by the ones who are funding them. And the rabbinical establishment is also being blinded. The letters that are coming out from Rabbanut, from Rabbanim, to support this vaccine, we have to understand that the vast majority of these rabbis who are signing these letters are employees of the state. They take state salaries, and this is what we call it sheker yaver and yaver nechachamim. And there's an old expression that you cannot teach someone something if his livelihood depends on him not understanding it. I forgot who said this, a famous mayor, a governor a long time ago in the United States. Maybe it was Sinclair. So you're dealing with someone who's receiving shochad. It's impossible to make him understand this. So what we have to do is we have to say, listen, your psak din is not acceptable. It's blindness. It's ivaron. It's blindness. And because you have compromised, you're monetarily compromised. So, or you're compromised because of doctors or because of the balabatim who support you or whatever it is. So you're compromised. We cannot rely on you for accurate data and accurate piskei din or accurate opinions. And that's what we have to say to doctors as well. We have to say, tell the doctors. The Rebbe said, the Rofei Yedid, who cares about you, who's not meshubad, he's not enslaved to financial interest or government pressure. And this is the deal Brahma we're dealing with. So anyway, I would just like to conclude with a blessing that we are living in extraordinary, extraordinary times, the Rebbe said. We're living the times of the Geulah, Mitit Vashleima, Yidei Mashiach Tidkenu. And we, the Chassidei Chabad, and those who understand, who respect and learn from the Rebbe's teachings. The Rebbe is Nasi Doreinu, and the Rebbe prepared us for this. He prepared us. He prepared us for the polarity of what will be by the Ikvah of the Mashiach, which is what we're in right now. He prepared us for the blindness that will exist then at the time. And it's our job to explain, to teach, to get through to these people and to get through to their, to give them sight, to give sight to the blind. And we don't have to have fear. We should not be fearful of Bennett. We should not be fearful of anyone. It's all rhetoric. They have no power. There's no mitziyut to them. Lo dubim v'lo yar. We just have to stand strong and cite the words, the timeless words of the Torah, just like Rabbi Levi Yitzchak, Hagon v'amikubal ha'amiti, who he stood strong to his values and he continued to teach Torah to Jewish children and the former Soviet Union. And he didn't pay attention to the Soviet dictates. And the same thing with us. We should not pay any attention to the dictates of the state. Who could come to shul, who can't come to shul, who could come to school, who could look up to Talmud Torah, who can't. Ignore them. Lo dubim v'lo yar. This time it's not going to be the same like it was back in the Soviet Union. They're not going to throw us into prison camps. They're not going to send us into exile because we're on the cusp of the Geulah. They're going to disintegrate. All we have to do is to state the truth, and the blindness will be the eyes will be opened, and everyone will see the truth. And all of these tyrants, all these aritzim, that's aritzut, this nonsense, it's shtuyot. Lo dubim v'lo yar. Because there's no gzeira in our times, like we said in the previous broadcast. We're living in times of redemption, and all we have to do is start is accepting our awesome place in history that we are now experiencing the redemption unfolding. Get into a mindset of redemption and redeem yourself, liberate yourself from all the shtuyot and the avir and the ivaron and all these. It's all non-entity. It's a non-entity, and I would like to conclude. By holding to the Rebbe's words and demanding truth and demanding Torah values and following in the footsteps of Rabbi Levi Yitzchak, the Rebbe's father, and Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak and the previous Rebbe, and most importantly in the footsteps of our Rebbe, Nasi Doreinu Melech HaMashiach, Yavo v'Yigaleinu v'Yolichinu Komit L'Artzeinu Techef U'Miyad Mamash. Thank you.